course, impossible. The first thing he did whenever he stepped out of one London and into another was take off the coat and turn it inside out once or twice, or even three times, until he found the side he needed. Not all of them were fashionable, but they each served a purpose. There were ones that blended in and ones that stood out, and one that served no purpose, but of which he was just particularly fond. So when Kell passed through the palace wall and into the anteroom, he took a moment to steady himself. It took its toll, moving between worlds, and then shrugged out of his red, high-collared coat and turned it inside out from right to left so that it became a simple black jacket. Well, a simple black jacket, elegantly lined with silver thread and adorned with two gleaming columns of silver buttons. Just because he adopted a more modest palette when he was abroad, wishing neither to offend the local royalty nor to draw attention, didn't mean he had to sacrifice style. Oh, kings, thought Kell as he fastened the buttons on the coat. He was starting to think like Rye. On the wall behind him, he could just make out the ghosted symbol made by his passage, like a footprint in sand already fading. He'd never bothered to mark the door from this side, simply because he never went back this way. Windsor's distance from London was terribly inconvenient, considering the fact that, when traveling between worlds, Kell could only move between a place in one and the same exact place in another. Which was a problem because there was no Windsor Castle a day's journey from Red London. In fact, Kell had just come through the stone wall of a courtyard belonging to a wealthy gentleman in a town called Disan. Disan was, on the whole, a very pleasant place. Windsor was not. Impressive, to be sure, but not pleasant. A marble counter ran against the wall, and on it a basin of water waited for him, as it always did. He rinsed his bloody hand, as well as the silver crown he'd used for passage, then slipped the cord it hung on over his head and tucked the coin back beneath his collar. In the hall beyond, he could hear the shuffle of feet, the low murmur of servants and guards. He'd chosen the anteroom specifically to avoid them. He knew very well how little the Prince Regent liked him being here, and the last thing Kell wanted was an audience, a cluster of ears and eyes and mouths reporting the details of his visit back to the throne. Above the counter in the basin hung a mirror in a gilded frame, and Kell checked his reflection quickly. His hair, a reddish-brown, swept down across one eye, and he did not fix it, though he did take a moment to smooth the shoulders of his coat, before passing through a set of doors to meet his host. The room was stiflingly warm. The windows latched, despite what looked like a lovely October day, and a fire raged oppressively in the hearth. George III sat beside it, a robe dwarfing his withered frame and a tea tray untouched before his knees. When Kell came in, the king gripped the edges of his chair.
"Who's there?" he called out without turning. "Robbers? Ghosts?"
"I don't believe ghosts would answer, Your Majesty," said Kell, announcing himself. The ailing king broke into a rotting grin.
"Master Kell," he said. "You've kept me waiting."
"No more than a month," he said, stepping forward. King George squinted his blind eyes.
"It's been longer, I'm sure."
"I promise it hasn't."
"Maybe not for you," said the king, "but time isn't the same for the mad and the blind."
Kell smiled. The king was in good form today. It wasn't always so. He was never sure what state he'd find His Majesty in. Perhaps it had seemed like more than a month because the last time Kell visited, the king had been in one of his moods, and Kell had barely been able to calm his fraying nerves long enough to deliver his message.
"Maybe it's the year that has changed," continued the king, "and not the month."
"Ah, but the year is the same."
"And what year is that?"
Kell's brow furrowed. 1819, he said. A cloud passed across King George's face, and then he simply shook his head and said,
"Time,"
as if that one